Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
That was at 279 at my heaviest. I was on a CPAP machine for a long time. Yeah, I had fatty liver. Yeah, I tried the Weight Watchers. I tried all the different types of, like, the Jenny Craig. That's when I became carnivore, was about 5 years ago. Snoring went away. Carrie, not even 6 months, I would say 6 to 8 months into the carnivore diet, that I was back playing 14 games in a weekend. Now I float around 200. Otherwise, I try to convince them just to try this, you know. Give yourself time to get rid of that addiction. I'm working with my 62nd person now. And out of the ones that keep coming back, right, it's 56 that I've helped get rid of their diabetes.
Any of these people hiring you as a health coach, or are these people you're just helping out?
I'm just helping for free. Everything's for free.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with a remarkable individual, Dwight Garlow. Dwight has overcome type 2 diabetes on the carnivore diet, but also he's helped many, many other individuals achieve better health. He's also helped me many times. And I said this to you, Dwight, when we met in person, the world needs more Dwight Garlows. I absolutely love what you're doing. Looking forward to talking to you today and sharing your story. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Carrie. Thank you very much. And thank you for the compliment there.
Absolutely. So maybe if we could just jump right into it. I know you're doing the carnivore diet, but could you maybe tell me a little bit about your life before you found the carnivore diet, your background, things like that?
Yeah, for sure. So this all started for me about five and a half years now. And it was a walk into my doctor's appointment, walked in the office, and by the look on his face, I thought, you know, it was something really, really bad. Well, I guess when you get told you got diabetes, it could be bad, right? But so I walk in, I see his face, he's got something to tell me, and, you know, it's I got bad news for you kind of thing. But he said pre-diabetic, right? And I was right on the verge of, like, I was 6.4. So you round it, and I was a type 2 diabetic, right? Mm. And so just that was a little bit devastating for me. So I was a medical driver at that time. So I was driving a lot of diabetics to their dialysis. I was driving them to have their eyes lasered. I was driving them to have amputations on their toes and knees. And it was a disease that I always wished that I would never, ever get. And I didn't know what it was, how to get it, how not to get it, right? So I was fairly active, fairly in shape all the time. I was working out, and I was thought I was eating the proper way. I was having my grains, I was having my veggies, I was throwing some fast food in there too, processed food, you know, the processed oils. I was throwing that into my diet as well, and I was sitting there wondering how could this be? How could I have this when I am living the life that is supposed to not have type 2 diabetes. Mm. And from that appointment, I left there with not, well, he told me I had that, but also I had fatty liver. He told me I had high blood pressure. So right there, and my belly circumference was more than half my height. So right there, I got metabolic syndrome, right? Which at the time I did not know I had that. I didn't even know what those words meant. And I left with some anxiety medication just in case something happens with all this information I'm getting. What else did I have? So high blood pressure. He wanted me on metformin. Oh, he gave me something for acid reflux. But there was five pills I left from that one appointment. Hmm. I was on nothing prior, right? And then from that one appointment, he wanted me on five pills, which I did go get the prescription filled, but it never ever took them. I wanted to do my research first because I had asked him, well, how do I get rid of this, right? And he's basically, I got the same old, well, it's a life, it's lifelong. We can manage it. We're going to, you know, he used metformin, for example, to help manage it. And so that was my introduction to, hey, Dwight, you got diabetes, right? Mm. as soon as that he told me what was going on, I was thinking, okay, shoot, am I going to be the people? Am I going to eventually end up on dialysis? What, you know, am I going to get a toe gone? Am I going to go blind? All these things that I knew were caused by diabetes, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a scary prospect. The most people I hear that are diagnosed with it, it's like, this is a thing you got forever now. I've since learned otherwise, but most people, it seems like they're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. It's like a life sentence sort of thing.
Right. What about yourself? Do you know if you were diabetic or not? I know your journey. Right?
So. That's a good question. I had so many issues. I had to have been pre-diabetic. With all my issues I've had, I never had the diagnosis of that. But I don't know how there's any way I couldn't have been there because I had poor metabolic health, the metabolic syndrome, like you mentioned, never heard of it my entire life. Like doctors always told me, eat healthier, eat a regular diet, right. Avoid meat. But no one ever really talked about my metabolic health. I hear that word all the time now in the carnivore community, but I never heard it before. But yeah, I don't know. I definitely had to have been close to pre-diabetic at that point. So you left there with five pills. And then what happened after that for you?
So I didn't want to take the pills. So I started, I'm very analytical. So I dove into YouTube and I can't remember what I was typing in, reversing diabetes or something along that route, right? And the first person that popped up for me was who was the first person that popped up for me?
Dr. Barry?
No, I wish though. I wish.
Because he's got like three videos on that topic, reversing type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, no, it was Dr. Berg. Dr. Berg was the first one that popped up for me.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and he had something on there about, so you gotta imagine, like I knew none of the terminology that I know now, right? So he's talking about glucose and sodium, or not sodium, insulin, and I have no idea what those are, right? So he's talking, and I maybe got a couple minutes in, I shut it off because I'm like, okay, this why is he being so sciencey about this diabetes thing? And then I went back to him and I said, okay, I'm going to sit down, watch this. I think it was a half hour video. So I watched it, and by the end, I was just putting together the words I kind of understood and making a story out of it. Like, you know, that I understood. layman's term, I guess. And in the end, I was like, I want to give this, maybe I'll give this a try, right? And so I went back to YouTube and I typed in, because he talked about the keto diet. So I typed in keto diet for diabetes. And then Thomas DeLauer popped up. Mm. And I watched, I saw it a bunch. I kind of dove into him because he was on the exercising plus kind of same lifestyle I was, right? A lot of athletics. And I saw his video, videos. I've watched all his videos. Even to today, I've watched all his videos. Now today that I know what I know, there's some things I don't agree with. But anyway, so I watched all these videos and that led me into, okay, maybe I got to take out the bad food. Okay, I'm hearing what he's saying is the excess of sugar, right? I'm eating way too much sugar. And so I fell to the trap that everybody falls into is I heard sugar and that's all I heard, right? This is just a little bit later down the road, but I didn't hear all carbs break down into glucose, right? Which is different because that means the bread I'm eating broke down into glucose, you know, or the donut. Yeah, okay, so I got a plain donut instead of the donut with chocolate on it, right?
Right.
You know, so it took the sugar off, but I didn't know that that donut was still going to, and you know, break down into glucose, spike my insulin, and so that was another kicker for me. You know, the fast food, the junk food. I thought I was making it healthier by not eating it with sugar.
Right.
Then after Thomas, then it was the famous Joe Rogan and Sean Baker video.
Ah.
Right. Yeah. That's the one. So that I watched that and I'm like, what is this? Right. And so I watched it, but I watched it and I heard it, but I kind of just let it go for a minute, right. For a while, because my daughter was doing basketball lessons with one of our local trainers, and he convinced her to go home and watch Game Changer. You know Game Changer?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so on Netflix, we watch Game Changer, and get rid of your diabetes, eat nothing but plants. So my first 6 months of my journey was switching over to plants. It wasn't fun. So when I'm switching over to plants, I'm losing weight, and I can feel me getting weaker. I was, you know, my muscle, I felt weaker. Maybe that was me losing electrolytes, or maybe that was me not getting my proper nutrition. But I started, that's when I started looking into my macros. Okay, so I need 120 grams of protein, right? How do I get that from my veggies that I'm eating?
Mm.
And let me tell you, you try to meet all your macros, and you're going to walk around like a stuffed pig because you got to eat. Just for your potassium, for example, you need 6 to 7 cups of a salad, right? Just to get your potassium. Okay, well, what about my protein? How many peas, how many thousands of peas do I need to get my 120 grams of protein? And then I always said that I'm going to do this just until I feel healthier, right? I'm still living with that. This diabetes thing is a lifelong. Yeah, these guys on YouTube, they've fixed theirs, but I'm still living with this is a lifelong thing because I don't want no delusions, right? And then where did I go from there? So I was eating all these veggies, and I go in, and yeah, my HA1C came down a little bit. And doctor's like, oh, good news, you know, your HA1C is down a little bit. Could never, ever, ever get it down. I was stuck at around 5.8, which is still pre-diabetes, right? Which now what I know is all the things happening when you're a type 2 diabetic is still happening to you when you're pre-diabetic is still happening to you while you're insulin resistant, right? So I'm like, how do I get this pre-diabetes gone? And I tried and tried, and finally I went back to the Joe Rogan and Sean Baker. I went back to that, and then that led me to Berg. Or not Berg, Ken. That led me to Ken, Dr. Ken DeBerry, right? I started watching his stuff, and again, I've watched every single video. I'm part of his, I'm in his members thing, so I get to watch the stuff before it comes out on YouTube, right? And that's when it helped me. So he's probably helped me the most. I started watching his stuff. Okay, I got the doctor wanted me on high blood pressure pills, right? I was hypertensive, and it was his videos. You know, do this. It's not this. It's not these things causing it. This is what's causing it. And I'm like, what? You know? And then just from the interviews that he was doing with other doctors, that led me to Dr. Siwas. Have you watched him, or have you interviewed him yet?
I haven't interviewed him yet. No.
Oh, That'd
be a good one. Yeah.
I can't wait till you do.
Right.
Who else did I meet at that time? So I started going. Not that I was better, but like I started having anxiety attacks because I was thinking about me losing limbs, you know, me on dialysis. And so I was having panic attacks that I could control. I didn't need the meds for it, right? I just had to realize, okay, the things that would start the panic attack, though, would be, geez, I'm breathing weird right now. Am I about to have a heart attack? You know, there's things that get in your head. And I was, I went back to YouTube and I typed in keto heart attacks or clogged arteries or something like that, right? And Ford Brewer popped up. Have you heard of Ford Brewer yet?
No.
Or have you? Like, check him out, right? So his very first video of his that I watched was 20 years of reverse 20 years of clogged arteries or something like that. And so I watched that video. He was athletic, he was plant-based, and he was ended up having clogged arteries, right? And he was talking about the diet that he was using to help reverse that, which was he added some salmon, he added some meats back into his diet. Then he started talking about nutrients and supplements, and that kind of put me on the supplement wagon. I kind of tuned my eating towards what he was doing, because heart attacks run in my family. And I didn't want to be the next one to have one or pass away from one, right? So my one grandpa was my age now when he had his heart attack. My other grandpa was a little bit older. My dad's had some heart attacks. And so I thought this was just a genetic thing that was, you know, I was doomed to have a heart attack soon. It's coming soon. I'm in my 40s, close, you know, in my 50s almost now. And so I thought, you know, my time's coming. And I think that was kind of bringing on the anxiety stuff too, when you think about where you are in life now. Like, you're not that invincible young pup anymore.
Right.
So I didn't want to die of a heart attack. So I started watching all Ford stuff, started following more of his, but that still didn't get my HA1C down. You know, I think I was still, cause I was still trying to consume enough of the veg to be able to keep my electrolytes up. And I don't know if it was just that, or if there was still too many carbs So for me, I think for me, I have to be under 12 grams of carbs a day. That's very specific. Some people say stay under 20, stay under 50, right? No, I did a lot of experimenting, and I would say 10 carbs puts me in trouble. It'll put me in trouble if I have 10 carbs a day. And I know it kind of depends on the carb too, but yeah. That Ford Brewer led me over to Peter Osborne, and I like watching Peter Osborne. You haven't done an interview with Peter yet, have you?
Not yet. No. No.
So from a nutritional side, nobody. Of all the nutritional videos that I've watched, and I'm health videos, nutrition videos, I'm well over 5,000 videos now in the five and a half years. And I still go back when I need to know something. I still go back and watch Peter's. It's just something on B1, I go back and watch him. Something on NAC, I go back and watch him. Right? Because he just gets so in depth. He's very sciencey. But in the end, if you're a layman, you still understand what he's trying to tell you.
Right.
It took me a little bit. And then I heard Ken. I'm on a carnivore. He's gonna do carnivore. He's talked about carnivore, right? And so I said, I'm gonna do carnivore. I love meat. My ancestry background says my people loved meat. That's what we lived on, was meat. And okay, my one question though was, when I go back to meat, what about my vitamin C? Right? Everybody says, what about you? Even I said it. Well, where am I gonna get my vitamin C? Do I have to take capsules? Ken said you didn't. So that's when I became carnivore. Was about 5 years ago. I've been a carnivore for, let's say, ketovore. Right? I try to keep those carbs pretty low as much as I can. And that was kind of... After carnivore, my HA1C now is like 4.9 to 5.1, but let's not even talk. That's just a blood marker, right? Yeah, you could still be 5 and still be a type 2 diabetic simply by having your insulin too high, right? So this is what I'm learning along the way, is that my blood marker, yeah, it's a marker, but it doesn't even really matter. It's your insulin. You got to test your insulin. You got to do a fasting insulin test. And so I got a HOMA IR done, which is one of the ways to test it, but that it was nice and low. Like it was down in the low range that said that I was no longer pre-diabetic. I think at the time my HA1C was 5.0, and my doctor, I don't know if my doctor thought it was the metformin that helped me. I don't know what he thought. You know, I did a lifestyle change. I dropped, that was at 279 at my heaviest. And now I float around 200, which is a decent weight for me. I maintain myself at 200 now. But it took that journey to finally figure out that, in the anxiety and the fear that lifted when I realized that diabetes is easy to beat. Like, you know what I mean? It seems so simple. Seems so simple. You just cut this out, cut that out, change your lifestyle, and it goes away.
I love how you said that, because you're the third person I've talked to recently on type 2 diabetes, and the third person that's used that word, it's easy, which... It probably didn't seem easy when you're first diagnosed, right? You're like, this is a life sentence. This is crazy. And everyone I'm talking to is like, no, it's actually pretty easy. It's kind of really sad, because there's so many people walking around in the world right now. I have so many family members with type 2 diabetes, like lifelong. Like I remember 10 years ago, they had type 2 diabetes. They still do now. They're checking their continuous glucose monitor, and they're still trying to moderate their sugar addiction. And well, I could have a little piece of birthday cake, but not a big piece. And then they end up eating two pieces anyway, sort of thing. But yeah, it's kind of sad how easy it seems to be for so many people. But the information out there is kind of the opposite of that. It seems like a life sentence for so many.
And it's not. And, you know, I got to tell everybody right now, diabetes is not a life sentence. It don't matter what your age is. It's you can get rid of it. I've been helping people now that have been, they're 75 or they're 14, and we've been able to get their fasting insulin down. They want it below 10, but I say below, you know, 5 and 5 or less. But, you know, let's get it down to 6. That's good too. But
right. So you're down 80 pounds. You've reversed type 2 diabetes. You started carnivore diet. Did you say 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah. The carnivore? Yeah, 5 years ago I started.
5 years ago. And did you notice anything else? Like, as if that wasn't enough, but down 80 pounds, reversing type 2 diabetes. Any other changes you've noticed?
Oh, huge changes. So at that time when I was diagnosed, I thought my sports were done, right? So I played volleyball through the winter. I played baseball through the summer. And I was at that point where I had severe arthritis on my ankles. Mm. My one ankle in particular, like I tried to go get, I had a buddy that got surgery done on his ankle, and he said it felt like he was 19 again. And I tried to get the same surgery done on mine. And when I went to that appointment, he said that there's so much stuff going on in your ankle that I don't even want to touch it. So I'm like, you know, okay. So my athletic life is kind of at a halt. You know, it's over. And then that was kind of depressing too. When something comes to a finish, you know, you get a little bit depressed about it, and you know, you're like, is this it? Okay, now what, right?
Right.
So I was at the point where I couldn't play half a baseball game. I couldn't play half a volleyball game, or my ankle was done. At the time, I was popping 2-3 naproxens at the 600 ibuprofens, right? I was popping crazy anti-inflammatories to try to be able to make it through a game. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm just holding my teammates up, right? I'm fat, I'm slow now. Like a total opposite of how I usually play, right? Fast, I'm an outfielder, I'm sprinting all the time, and now I can't do that anymore. So it wasn't even carry, not even 6 months, I would say 6 to 8 months into the carnivore diet, that I was back playing 14 games in a weekend.
What?
Like when we do tournaments, sometimes we're playing 10 games to 14 games in a weekend. Like if you're into the championship level, like when you get into playoffs and you're playing anywhere's from 7 to 14 games. Mm. So when I say 14 games, that meant you lost all your games. Now you got to beat and win to get to the end, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So to feeling no pain, no muscle fatigue. Like, yeah, my sometimes I get cramps because my electrolytes are so low because I can't keep them in me, right? But to going from, oh no, my sports are done, to, hey, look at me now. You know,
wow,
I can play.
And the arthritis went away.
My ankle's gone down. Now that I know more about rheumatoid arthritis and I understand it better, like with the mechanisms that were happening, I went back and got scans done, and they don't see nothing wrong with my ankle anymore.
Wow,
the one that was worse. What else was going on? So there was that. There was had fatty liver. Obviously, I had fatty liver. I don't know. I think the depression, if I did have depression, it was just because of not having the same lifestyle anymore, getting the news and not being able to keep that lifestyle that I was used to, like just active all the time. I've always coached for the past 15 years. I've been coaching and doing a lot of coaching. And so I just thought, you know what, my time's done. The next generations, it's their times. I'm going to pass down what I know. And yeah, but no, this, I'm gonna blame it on the carnivore diet. Because even when I was 6 months in, after I watched the Game Changers and I did 6 months of plant-based, my ankle wasn't, it wasn't until after I did the carnivore. And I don't know why, I still analyze that, right? I'm like, okay, what was the difference? Was it I was eating a ton of oxalates, you know, because I was eating the spinach and the kale and eating all my raspberries and my almonds and anything like that that I can on the plant-based, right? So was my oxalates too high still, or what was going on? I don't know. But when I went over to carnivore and I got rid of all the plant-based, and absolutely, I went zero carb, right, for a long time. So I got rid of, I just got rid of.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Anything that, and with no intent, right? I just did it because I was watching Ken, right? I was watching Dr. Barry.
Right.
And he talked about his journey and... So, yeah, so I gave it a shot, and those are some of the things I'm sure, like, after I'm done here with you, I'll be like, oh, I should have mentioned this, or I should have mentioned that.
There's usually so many things, you almost got to write them down because you start to forget. But the arthritis one was interesting because I had that. They said it was gout. Then another guy said it was arthritis in my toe, and I avoided surgery. And similar to you, I had practiced a keto diet. Very strict, mostly just plants. I would have a little bit of protein, like a chicken breast at night, because I was scared to have red meat because I was going to clog my arteries. It was, it was salad for lunch, spinach salad, oxalate salad for dinner. And I did that for like a year, and my foot hurt worse after that than when I started. And it wasn't until I did carnivore. And I don't know the full mechanisms behind it. The only thing I know is if it ends in itis, it's usually inflammation. And it seems like carnivore, like, just gets rid of all the inflammation. I hear that from so many people, whether it's inflammation in the tongue and throat that I stop snoring right away, or just other. I hear so many people that start carnivore, they're like, man, I had this back pain or this shoulder pain or elbow pain my whole life, and I always just thought it was an injury. And it turns out after going carnivore, it just went away, like in 2 or 3 weeks, like pretty quickly when that inflammation goes down. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, so I had the same thing. I was on a CPAP machine for a long time. And shoot, what, 3-4 weeks? And I was, not that I was off it because I knew I wasn't snoring, but I felt like my breathing was better. Yeah. And I downloaded like this snore app on my phone, right, to listen to. And at the same time, you know, I'm throwing on a Fitbit and all this, I want to know some metrics, right? Something I can base my calories and things off of. And this was before I believed in calories, right? So I was doing the whole calorie thing and cutting calories and stuff. But my snoring went away. My appetite, I was like, oh, what? Okay, maybe I'll do it another night. And I did it for a month and then 2 months. And my snoring was either really, really light. So I didn't stop breathing that. Yes, I didn't stop breathing through the night. Everything felt better. I just felt more energized in the morning.
Yeah, that's incredible. I've heard that from a lot of people. Speaking of Joe Rogan, Dr. Jordan Peterson was on there. And that was one thing that caught me is he said he stopped snoring the first week on carnivore. I've since heard a lot of other individuals say the thing. That could be game changing. Like you think, oh, you don't snore anymore. Great. But you're not snoring. You're not having those apneas. You're not stopping your breathing. And the toll that takes on your whole system, your immune system, everything, all the downstream effects, I think people don't realize. I've always had horrible depression and anxiety. And it seems like when I fixed the snoring and fixed the sleep, the depression and anxiety also went down. There's got to be a correlation there. Like if you're getting better sleep, your immune system's stronger, hormones are balancing out. I don't know. There's so much going on there, but
so I did a lot of when the breathing, like when I was doing this, my analytical YouTube dive into the breathing side of stuff. That's when I got introduced to the Iceman and James Nestor. I just dove into both all their videos, all their interviews that they ever did with anybody. And that helped a lot too, to understand just our breathing and how we're supposed to be breathing. And like Wim Hof is just crazy good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. So you started seeing all these incredible changes for yourself, but then you decided to start helping other people with this. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I bet you it wasn't until probably about 3 years into carnivore that, or I shouldn't even say carnivore, 3 years into watching all the videos I did, because you name a body part or something, a chemical inside the body part, I dove into finding out what it was all about, right? And I obviously all the main ones, and the thing I've been watching and rewatching lately has been the lean mass hyperresponder stuff that Dave Feldman's been doing, right? So I've been rewatching all those. But so I didn't feel comfortable about 3 years in. Actually, it wasn't even just a little bit before I kind of knew what was going on with Jeff. So yeah, I guess I'd be about three, and I've been doing this with Jeff for about 2 years now, right? That I felt comfortable even talking about how to get rid of diabetes or how to fix your, people just say sore knees or sore ankles or, you know, their rheumatoid arthritis or it took a family member, right? It was actually, who was my favorite? My mom, maybe? Yeah, it was my mom. She was on high blood pressure pills and cholesterol pills. And, you know, I never give the medical advice, right? So what I tell my mom is I say, Mom, I want you to go tell your doctor, which happens to be my doctor, that you're going to do this. You're going to try this diet and lifestyle, and you're going to need to be coming off your high blood pressure pills, right? And so she goes, tells our doctor. And 3 weeks later, she's off her high blood pressure pills. Right? Now, and I'm trying to educate her in the meanwhile, right, about insulin and B vitamins, like what's the deficiency for this, right? So I think that was when I first felt comfortable. And then the next was my sister having long-term COVID, possibly needing a lung transplant. No, actually, she was on the lung transplant list. And I said, Becky, just try this, right? So I tell my sister, try this, let's see what happens. And so she's gets into the carnivore and she gets into the fasting. And I don't know how many months later it was that she went to see her doctor, but they're like, your lungs are, they're good now. Your lungs are cleared up. You don't need to be on the transplant list no more. And then it was, who's my first? I can't even remember. I've helped so many people with their diabetes now that I don't even keep names or but my first diabetic person that I was helping, just giving them my experience, right? This is what I did. This is how I did it. And this is what's, and then educated them on insulin. You know, I talk about the glucose and stuff, but it's mostly about the insulin that's, you know, that's causing a lot of the issues. I'm not going to say it causes every issue, but it causes a lot of the issues, having high insulin, and then just talking to them about what causes the high insulin. Is it your sleep? Is it your maybe your lack of salt? Is it your eating excessive sugars, right? So we talk about fasting. We talk about a keto diet if they want to eat veg. Like I'm not pro carnivore. No, I shouldn't say. I am very pro carnivore, right? I'd put everybody on carnivore. Do I need fiber? I haven't needed fiber in 5 years. And I don't feel like I have any deficiencies from not eating fiber, except I don't have to go to the bathroom as often. And when I do go, it's a good, you know, it's good. So that's, and then just teaching people mostly about insulin. And my favorite guy about insulin is Ben Bickman. I've watched everything he does and I've rewatched everything. I just finished. Yeah, it's been about a little over two years that I started helping just family members in the beginning, right? And then again, I don't remember. Sorry, Carrie, I don't remember names. I just help people. Sorry. And then when they feel better and all their blood work comes back and, you know, we look it over and they're happy, I'm happy. They kind of go back to, hopefully they're all still leading the same lifestyle as when they left me. And,
right.
But yeah.
Are some of them hesitant? Like, this goes against everything I've ever been told, but maybe they're...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. First thing they say is, oh, my doctor says, you know, this, that it's lifelong, you know, that, I think it takes, there's been quite a few people that have come to me and we just get going good. You know, they're off two of their insulin shots. And then I don't see them anymore. And I hope that they're doing, you know, continuing to do what took them off his insulin shots in the first place. But when they first come in, I just had a guy the other day that came into my dispensary there. And he's talking, I just got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I'm looking at him, right? And I'm like, yeah, you've been diabetic probably for about 15 years.
Right.
And he acted and his tone of voice and everything. And he's a buddy that comes in, I can talk to him, right? Like just, it was done. He was done. You know, he's got diabetes and he's looking at sugary stuff. And I'm like, no, you don't want that stuff, you know? Cause at my place of work there, we make diabetic stuff. Sweetened with either monk fruit or stevia, if they still want that sweet in their life, right? And otherwise, I try to convince them just to try this, you know, give yourself time to get rid of that addiction, that carb addiction, that sweetness addiction, whatever that addiction is, well, through fasting or mostly fasting. That's, to let their body forget what that tasted like. I think that's what it is for, like, I don't know about you. I don't remember what bread tastes like. like white bread. Do you remember what white bread tastes like or what white sugar tastes like?
No, I get kind of grossed out thinking about eating bread again. It's just, it really, it kind of nauseates me a little bit. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to just get clogged up and, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some bread, to me, it smells like Play-Doh now.
Right.
Like that plastic seam kind of smell.
Yeah.
That's what it smells like to me. And I feel like if we can get them past that, those addictions, I think those are the ones that stay aboard, like that keep in communication with me.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that fall off the wagon are the ones that stop reaching out.
Right.
But, you know, I think they'll reach out again. It's just.
Well, I think that's a huge part of it. I did a video a while ago where I admitted, I'm like, I was totally, like all of us are, I was totally addicted to standard American diet, sugar, processed foods. There's nothing to be ashamed about with that. That food is highly engineered to make you become addicted to it. But I think a lot of people don't admit that. A lot of people are like, yeah, I can moderate a little bit. For me, I like used to have 10 carbs a day. I'm probably very similar. I can't have a little bit of any of that. And that addiction comes back. I always tell people, I look at it like I was an alcoholic for 42 years. I quit alcohol. I'm not going to go back and just on Saturday have a little bit of beer. I'm like, it changed my life forever giving up that alcohol. I can't moderate. I'm not going to have a little bit of it. So I think that's a big thing, is just admitting that, because I yo-yo dieted for so many years. I did keto really strict, like starved myself, lost a bunch of weight. And then I'd be like, I'm going back to moderation. And I'd have good intentions, eat some raspberries or something, but get ravenous. Like that addiction would come back and gain all the weight back and yo-yo forever. That's the thing I love about carnivore. It just seems so natural. It doesn't seem forced like all those other diets did.
Right. And I was the same as you. I yo-yoed and I tried all the different types of, like, the Jenny Craig and what's that other weight loss one?
Weight Watchers.
Yeah, I tried the Weight Watchers. I tried that. Even though people around me told me I didn't look overweight, I felt overweight, right? So I tried these things, tried getting rid of them, and the moderation don't work. And I know why the moderation don't work.
Right.
The moderation don't work because you got your insulin high all the time from eating little moderate meals all through the day, right? Your insulin is just high all the time.
Right.
And people don't understand that. That last guy that came in that I'm talking about, that's what he said. My doctor said, oh, just have smaller meals in moderation. Mm. And I'm like, so I get talking with people, and my problem is I think I talk too scientific-y, I guess, you know what, like, well, no, not even, because I'm just saying words that we should be taught. We should be taught this in school,
yeah,
right? We should be taught about what insulin is, glucose is, and just, I guess, the nutrition. We should be taught our B vitamins. We should be taught our fat soluble. We should be taught all our, you know, all this stuff that we should be taught in school, so that when we get older, we know, hey, doctor, I got high blood pressure. Can you check my B1 and B2, you know, or can you check my insulin? A lot of times you've got high blood pressure because your insulin's high, right? Yeah. Or your carb intake is too high. And so we should be able to go to our doctors and talk on that level. And we can't, right? So I feel like we should. And it probably won't ever happen because the government don't want it to happen. But we should be taught that some sort of nutrition in school besides your macros, right?
Yeah. So doing this whole documentary, the initial thing was, we're going to do a documentary on the carnivore diet. Then it was like, no, the proper human diet, what humans should be eating. And then it just kind of evolved to just whatever's natural for humans is what's best. It's like, as we depart away from what's natural for humans, we're getting sicker and sicker. But yeah, we never talk about all of that. Everything, it's so hard going against the social norm of, oh, sugar's just fine. It's just, this is just the way it's always been. Mm-hmm. But once you become carnivore or ketovore or proper human diet, and you get out of that brain fog, you start seeing more clearly. You look around in the world and you're like, my goodness, it's, humanity needs healing. There's a lot of sick people out there, and it just, because it happens slowly, you have that normalization of it where people are like, oh, it's just the way it's always been, sort of thing.
Right. I mean, I don't have anything against the wanting to eat. Well, see, my people, we've always used plants as medicine.
Mm.
You know, we don't, from my teachings coming up, I don't ever recall, you know, us. I still do a lot of ancestral gathering, right? So I still do my gathering of meat through the winter by mostly venison, right? We go out, shoot some venison, some deers. In the spring, we just had our fish season, right? So I didn't go this year. I had some buddies bring me some fish by, but normally it's walleye. Like, we have stock our freezers up with some walleye. But so for us, the first fruit for us to come is these little wild strawberries. Do you get them around your place?
No, we got raspberries and blackberries here.
So they're about the size of your thumbnail. Maybe if you found a big one, the size of your thumbnail. Probably more like the size of your baby pinky fingernail, right? So that's how big they are. These are the berries of old, right? These are the prehistoric berries that existed. And they're in abundance. Like, my whole lawn has a whole bunch of them. They're about to fruit soon. And so that's going to be the first fruit of the season. I have nothing against people going out and wanting it. Do you want to go pick that? You know, so I maybe I'll have a handful this season. I don't know. But once they're gone, they're gone. Right? Now that I know more about the way that berries and stuff come, I have no desire to eat one of those great big giant apple-sized strawberries.
Right.
Like, that's just not even natural, right?
Yeah. So funny you mentioned that. My wife Jen and I were just talking about that yesterday. They're like this big, like it's like frankenfruit. It's not even real anymore.
Yeah.
And then you analyze what's in it. There's like not even any minerals or vitamins or anything that used to be in it anymore because the soil is so deficient that they're growing it in.
Oh, super deficient, and then it's full of glyphosate, right? Full
of your
pesticides.
Right.
I think it was it Brecca Gary? Did a post on Instagram talking about what they take. They took like a quart of strawberries, analyzed it, and had enough glyphosate from that to spray like half a football field or something.
Oh my goodness.
Like, you know what I mean? It was just something dumb. It was. I know I'm messing up what he is saying, but when he said it, like, it was just that enormous. Like, there was enough glyphosate to be able to do like a big air. I think it was the field over again. Like, it was just dumb.
It's funny you say that, because I saw a similar video where they analyzed some fruit for pesticides, and they're like, there's enough pesticides within the interior of this fruit that they extracted that they could have reused it.
Maybe that's the same one.
And people just take the strawberry and they wash it off under the water and like, oh, I'm sure it's just fine. It's like, no, you're eating pesticides and all these forever chemicals, glyphosate, all that stuff. And
so
I'm sure it's just fine.
See, I think that's what stops me from eating plants. Like, I like Brussels sprouts. I like anything barbecued, pretty much. I don't think there was any plant that I didn't like. Mind you, I won't eat that mustard plant family anymore because I know it's GMO. Like, Brussels sprouts broccoli never existed in the wild. So I am not, you know, it was never a wild cauliflower. It was, so I don't eat that family of veg. I stopped eating it, and I won't go back to eating it. here's the thing for me is that all these influencers and people that talk about eat veg because it has this, it has that, they never play devil's advocate with themselves. That's what I like about Thomas DeLauer, right? He'll do both sides of the story. But these influencers, they don't say, well, there's this many tannins, this is what it's going to do. There's this much glyphosate, there's this much oxalates. There's, you know, they don't do that and give you both sides of the picture. They don't say, okay, if you're trying to get 100 grams of peas, this is how much you need. But by the way, you're getting a 100 grams of, well, not 100 grams, but in these 100 grams worth of peas, you're getting the tannins, the phytates, the, you know, they're not promoting the veg to me properly.
Right.
You know, I want to hear both sides. Okay, when I tell you this is, you're going to have a piece of meat, and the bad side is, I sound very biased at the moment because I don't have a bad side. Some people have a histamine reaction. I don't know why. I'm still looking into that. And some of the research, it just isn't clear. Like, yeah, they say it's because of this one thing, but is it because of the diet that they're on that caused that? You know what I mean? There's so many things that the research didn't. They didn't do it on a carnivore who's 50 years old that lived. Like maybe if they did it on Maggie, right?
Right.
If they did some of these on these people that lived carnivore most of their life,
right?
You know.
Yeah, it's like uncharted territory for so much of this stuff.
Yeah.
We need more Maggies to test on.
Yeah, we do.
Luckily, it seems like there's more people adopting it. Like it seems like carnivore is really spreading around. The more and more, it's hard for me to say because I'm so close to it, but. It just works. Like I'm doing it. My mom's doing it. My stepdad's doing it. Both of my sisters are, and then they're inspiring people. So it seems like it's kind of grown that way. But
right.
One of the things incredible with you, Dwight, that I've learned a lot from is, well, two things, probably more than two things, but two that I could think of is the importance of supplements. Like there's some doctors out there like, just eat meat. It'll be fine. But you've really educated me on that. Can you talk a little bit about supplements and why they're still important, and maybe some other carnivores that are out there that are ignoring it should probably consider it more?
So I think if you're fasting, if you're eating like your 2-3 meals a day, that you might be, depending on the quality of your meat too and the quality of your eggs, and I guess just the quality of your food that you're eating, is it grass finished, grass, and is it wild? Like all this venison that I'm putting in my fridge, it's got to be better than the butcher who corn fed and corn finished their beef, right? But so are you fasting? So fasting depletes the fasting doesn't, it's your body will use up your B vitamins. You need your B vitamins daily, right? So if you're fasting daily, you're using up your B vitamins. You need that, the B vitamins coming back in. The research that I still haven't been able to find is, okay, let's say I had a piece of steak. How much nutrition am I getting from that piece of steak versus that 16 to 18 hour fast that I did? And is that enough to last me for my next day? Replenish what I lost and then last me for my next 16 hour fast that's about to happen, right?
Right.
So I haven't been able to find out about that. So I make sure that I get my, again, we're above the 46 degree, is it latitude? So the vitamin D from the sun isn't as good for us, right? So, I mean, yesterday I was cutting grass with my shirt off. How much vitamin D did I get? And So I make sure I take my D, K, K2, my E and A, and I take them all together. I don't think that they should be taken separately, because a lot of it come all together in the food that you eat, right? So if you're eating a piece of cow fat, you know, you're getting some of those vitamins all together. I think they work synergistically, I believe, anyways, and from the research that I've been looking at. I would be worried about electrolytes, your electrolytes. So I have to myself, this is going based on me. I have to keep my salt intake coming in, and I do the Redmond sea salt, that Canberry promotes, Dr. Canberry promotes. I wish I could find it. I need to do, or if you ever do an interview with Peter Osborne, I got a whole bunch of questions for him. Right. So if that ever happens, you know, give me a call. I'd like to jump in, or I'd send you some questions, just because I've fired off emails to all these. I've never got a response from one single one. Right? Oh, man. I mean, they've probably got thousands of emails coming in all the time, and you know, maybe mine just gets skipped over all the time. But get tested, you know, get tested. Make sure that you need them, and just your basic blood serum test isn't enough to let you know your nutritional panel, right? I've looked for the lymphocyte proliferation tests here in my area in Ontario, and I can't find anybody to do it. So I'm probably just going to do the one that Peter Osborne promotes on his website. And I think from a nutritional, I will never touch grains again, now that I know what they do for the gut, how they cause malabsorption in your gut. So that there will make you deficient, right? It will make you deficient in your vitamins or heart, I guess. It'll be the uptake. The uptake won't be as good. I have about 10 supplements that I take daily. I make sure I get my zinc in, make sure that I get my NAC in. But does everybody need that? I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't speculate that everybody needs that. I wouldn't just assume. I would say go get tested. And that's what I do with everybody, that anybody that wants to work with me is, I say, go to your doctor, get this tested, get that tested, and see where your values are right now.
Right. So the other thing that's really interesting with you is you're basically an encyclopedia of all of these carnivore, ketovore YouTube videos, because you've watched every one. It's so crazy because I'm similar, and now I'm at the point where I've been doing carnivore for over a year now, so I really don't have too many questions. But I still watch them all the time. It's like we can never get to the bottom of it. But I guess I don't know what my question is here, other than it's kind of amazing, because if not for YouTube, I don't know. I wouldn't be, there's no way I'd be doing carnivore right now. There's no way. Like, I'm not going to read this in the library. There's nowhere else. I think it's same for you. But now it's helping other people too. Like our shared good friend Jeff DeProsperous, you told him, like, hey, check out these YouTube videos. So it's helping him as well. There's good and bad with everything. There's a lot of bad with YouTube, but there's some good stuff out there if you can filter through to it, I guess.
Oh, the information is amazing. If it wasn't for YouTube, you'd still be 100 pounds heavier. I'd still be 79 pounds heavier, diabetic, fatty this, not playing no sports. Probably just coaching and living a miserable life, thinking that I was going to die from having my leg amputated or having a stroke or having a heart attack. And, you know, like I can't even imagine the inflammation that was inside my body.
Right.
You know?
Isn't that scary to think about? You do that little thought exercise. Imagine if I never found carnivore, where would Dwight be right now? Man, it's a scary, scary thought.
I actually think on it more than you would think I do. Well, you probably think on it too. Like, you know, I think about that all the time. There was a time when I had this little spot on my liver. The doctors wanted to do that draw. What's that draw called? A biopsy.
Oh yeah.
And I wouldn't let them. And so my father-in-law, he had died from esophageal cancer. So when they went in and did it, you know, there was a mass, and then a little bit after they went in and did their biopsy, then it turned into more than a mass. And then the question was it the biopsy that caused, you know, the spreading, or was it just these high insulin levels? And anyway, I had a little mass going on there, and that led me to back to Dr. Berg. I remembered one of his videos from all these videos I watched of this guy named Guy, who the doctors told him to go home, and you know, he had a month to live. He did his chemo, did the radiation, and so he actually turned to Berg too. He remembered seeing something on, I guess, on Berg, and so right away I got right into fasting right away, and so that led me down the cancer path. Right, I'm like, okay, I got this. So what if I did? What if? And so that led me down to just carnivore, cancer, fasting, cancer. And who was the first one that popped up? It wasn't Thomas. Thomas was after. Oh, no. So it was, what was it? Mary? I know I'm messing this up. Kilmeade. I say it was Mary, Marilyn. I can't. Anyway, so I watched her video. Again, that led me back to Berg, and then Berg's video led me to Thomas Seyfried, and I just dove into everything that he had to say. Mm. Yep, dove into the what was cancer, what was this, what was that. So I think each thing that happened to me, because it's all, my doctor wanted me on a cholesterol pill, right? So I dove into the cholesterol side of things. My second visit was me and my doctor talking about Dr. Dave Feldman, right? And he kind of pushed Dave off, like, you know, and I dove into what he had to say, and all that stuff intrigued me. Ivor Cummings, you know, that he was one of the very first two along there with Dr. Ken DeBerry. Have you watched any of his stuff?
No.
Ivor Cummings? Yeah, check out Ivor. He did this video called The Widowmaker. But his whole thing was on cholesterol too, right? So reversing cholesterol, is it possible? And that was at the same time I was looking at Ford Brewer stuff. But each anything that started happening to me, my eyesight, I started diving into, I guess in the end it started being sugar in eyes, sugars in this and sugar in that, and right. anything that sugar was causing inflammation in, or high insulin levels were causing inflammation, and I kind of dove into it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's where my interest lies, is just how things work and then why. Why right. Did it work, you know?
It's amazing with the sugar. I don't know if I have it here, but I have this book, Sugar Blues, that on the back of the book, it talks about sugar is the leading cause for chronic diseases, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, cancer, all of these things. And that book is from 1974. And it's just crazy. Wow, yeah. They've been talking about this for a long time now, but yeah, sugar just gets a big pass. We just filmed with Professor Seyfried for the documentary, and I can't wait. I can't wait to share some of that stuff, the work he's doing.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous you got to go out there and see him and talk to him. And
we got to interview him, and then we're also able to interview three or four people on his team that work in his lab. Some of this stuff, you're so like zen, Dwight, and laid back, but do you get fired up about all of this? Here's one thing I'll just say real quick. I interviewed a gentleman, Federico, that works in Professor Seyfried's lab, and he's into the bioethics of cancer treatment. And one of the things he told me was, you know, GBM, the brain tumor. It's a horrible brain tumor.
Glioblastoma.
Yeah. It's been known for like 100 years. And in the early days when they would treat that, it was just surgery. They would just resect it. Now they have standard of care treatment, which includes shaving the head, putting this electrical thing on the head that puts pulses into the brain, chemotherapy, radiation. When they did this 100 years ago, like thousands of cases of GBM, patients lived 8 to 12 years. Now, under the standard of care, where they shave the head, put electricity through it, radiation, people's teeth are falling out. Professor Seyfried, some of these people are bleeding out of all orifices. It's horribly painful. The outcome for the people nowadays versus 100 years ago is 8 to 12 years. It's precisely the same as before. It's incredible. So this gentleman, Federico, this young man, hope for the future, he's going and he's calling oncologists and he's like, why are you doing this? Like, what? Like, here's the stats and the data. He's like, not trying to make it uncomfortable, but why would you be doing this? And these people they refuse to even acknowledge like Professor Seyfried's work, metabolic therapy. Like, you go in like our buddy Jeff and they give him chemotherapy with cookies and Ensure and sugar. It's just so backwards. But that was one of the individuals I got to meet. I guess my long-winded question there is, you get kind of fired up about all this. I guess there's nothing we can do about it other than what we can do going forward. But the system's just so messed up and so backwards.
I can't, because I can't control it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can't control what everybody else is doing there. I think what gets me though is that people, when I'm talking with people or if I'm sending people videos, they don't believe it because their doctor who knows all told them this, told them that. So my father-in-law went into an appointment with his sister and said, can I eat sugar or something to do with sugar, right? And his oncologist, he's like, yeah, you can still eat sugar, you know, that's fine. And because I'm sitting in, no, cut out all your sugar, bring your insulin down, cut out all your sugar, bring it. It's a human, insulin's a human growth hormone. We don't want it to be telling things to grow no more, right? And then this happened, and then, you know, once the doctor said, sugar's fine, sugar was fine, right?
Right.
And so those are the things that I guess they light a little fire in me is, it's true. How do you say that, Carrie? You don't want to tell people to not believe or listen into their doctor, but is your doctor educated? Are they up to research? Are they up to the, like, are your doctors cool enough that you could walk in with the newest research on diabetes and they just accept it and say, okay, I'm going to help you. Let me research and we'll figure this out. You know, is your doctor that cool? And I haven't seen my dad. Last time I saw my doctor, he was throwing papers around in his office. And I haven't seen him since.
Right.
But
it's a tough one for me. It's almost like I wish if I could go back, of course, listen to your doctor, but don't take it as the holy grail, be all end all. Like, you have to take some of it into your own hands, do some more research. You could still listen to your doctor, but maybe you do your own research like you have, Dwight, and then go back to the doctor and say, well, look at this. Here's a lean mass hyper responder study. What do you think about this? Or things like that. But my problem my whole life was, I just listened to the doctor and they just put me on medication and never helped. It cascaded more and more. So,
you know better now though, right? You're going to do your own research now and you're going to, let's say you and I just met on the street and you just walked out of your doctor's office. Let's say, so this actually did happen, but I didn't talk to the person, right? Let's say we were in the doctor's office and I heard the doctor telling you, here's some high blood pressure pills for your high blood pressure. And, you know, and then we walk out of the office and I say, hey, maybe you should go get your B1 checked out. Go get your B2. What's your uric acid look like? Maybe it's your carbs. You're eating too many carbs, but those sound too simple.
Yeah.
Right. When I tell people, oh, just cut out your sugar, your insulin will come down. Perhaps that's why you got high blood pressure. No, that's too simple, right? It can't be that simple. It's got to be this little chemical in this pill that has all kinds of research behind it that is going to, it doesn't even fix you, right? It's a Band-Aid. All these pills, they're all Band-Aids, right? Right.
Yeah, none of them address the root cause of the issue.
No, but would you believe me though, if we walked out, we didn't know each other? You know what I mean?
No, yeah, it's tough. It's a tough thing. Educating the public is like get it back into school and get some of this education out there so people wouldn't be so reliant.
Yeah. I'm the one that would have heard what you said and I would have went and researched it.
Right.
Because that's just how I am, right? I'm like, I don't think I don't push aside any information that comes at me unless I've looked it up and saw both sides of it.
Right.
You know, I gotta see it from both sides.
See, I think I'm a little different than you. I wish I was more like you, but what really gets me fired up is I see someone else's story that's done it. Like, I'm just diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. My buddy Dwight over here is overcome it. Like, what the heck did he do? I want to see more. So that would probably get me to do more research then, is seeing something like that, like from a real person doing it versus the doctor sort of saying kind of thing. But yeah, it's weird because everyone's a little bit different. Some people are more analytical and some people are more get the inspiration from seeing other people do it.
And I got numbers behind me. I'm like, I don't know how many people my doctors reverse their diabetes in.
Right.
But I'm working with my 62nd person now. And out of the ones that keep coming back, right? I'm at 56 have reversed their type 2. And so actually this guy that just came in the other day, he'll be my 63rd guy if he wants to work and reverse it. So, and you know, there are more people out there that want to get rid of it than there are that just, you know, believe in the doctor's way.
Wow. So you've helped, did I get this right? 63 individuals reverse their type 2 diabetes.
No, I'm on my 63rd person that right now says they want to reverse it. It's 56 that I've helped get rid of their diabetes. Well, I've gotten their fasting insulin down below 10.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Because there's been two people that came to me and they said that their HA1C was 5.4, right? And I said, well, what do you eat? They tell me what they eat or what their lifestyle looks like, especially if they're getting no sleep, right? If they're getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep and maybe their cortisol is high all the time, which means their sugar's high or glucose is high, which means your insulin's high. So I tell them, well, go get your fasting insulin checked. See if your doctor, even go get the oral glucose tolerant test done. Go get that done and let's see what happens from that. And sure enough, you know, they come back, I'm still pre-diabetic. But their doctor, because they were 5.4, their doctor said they were good, right?
That's incredible. So are any of these people hiring you as a health coach, or are these people you're just helping out?
I'm just helping for free. Everything's for free.
That's awesome. You know? Yeah, that's why I encourage everyone watching this. That's another thing is you should always question like motivations. Like you and I watching Dr. Barry, both of us, I think, found carnivore through him. That was my first question. It's like, what the hell is Dr. Barry selling? What is this? Where's the supplement? Where's the diet program I got to sign up for? And I'm like, I couldn't find anything. That's the people you should listen to.
Here's what I got to say to Dr. Barry is, as far as I can see, nobody is making a tallow-based vitamin. Ooh. And he doesn't want to sell stuff, right? Yeah, right. He's got Ridman sea salt there, but he doesn't want – Peter Osborne, he's selling all his vitamins and stuff. And so Dr. Barry made these, I guess, tallow-based vitamins that I don't have to be eating veggie capsules. You know, I don't want to be eating the veggie supplements, you know.
Right.
So if there was somebody out there that would make animal-based supplements, I'm in.
That's a good idea. I haven't heard of that one.
Well, awesome. I keep thinking about doing it myself, but
right,
I would need some people that made the supplements, or you know, I'm just not in the field of making supplements.
Right.
I can dose it, but I just can't make it.
Man, Dwight, you are awesome, man. You're helping so many people. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And our buddy Jeff as well. You've helped immensely. Like, I don't know what Jeff would be doing without you. He said it to me so many times, like, you've been a lifesaver for him, the information you're providing him and helping him with. And we actually have a video coming up with Dwight and Jeff together. So stay tuned for that. But Dwight, people are probably going to say, how can I learn more about this Dwight guy? If you have any contact information or anything you want to share, I will have that in the description for people. And you always have an open invite. We can do another one of these or do a live stream, or I'm sure there's so much more we could talk about. I can't believe we're already over an hour here now, but is there anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap things up?
I would just like people to do their research, you know, become your own scientist, become your own doctor. When you're talking to your doctors, yeah, be respectful, but you got to fix these things. I shouldn't say on your own, but you got to be looking it up. Find people like us, like Barry, like Baker, like all the great influencers, you know, Nutrition with Judy. Like, find these people and become your own doctor.
Yeah.
Yep. Become your own doctor and help your doctor.
That's a great advice to end it with. I think I get so many comments from people. They're like, I'm going to do that. And that's the first thing I always tell them. I'm like, are you sure you know what you're doing? Like, it's amazing the resources we have with all these individuals you just mentioned. Like, Dr. Barry has Carnivore 101. Dr. Chafee has Carnivore Basics, Carnivore Mistakes. Like, if you're watching this, you're like, well, what about fiber? What about cholesterol? Those are great questions. And you shouldn't start until you're comfortable with them. But they've all been asked and answered. And it's just a matter of typing on your computer, Dr. Barry Fiber, Dr. Barry Cholesterol, Philip Lavadia, yeah, stuff like that. So it's like most people are so scared to start carnivore. And I always tell them, I would be way more scared to continue doing whatever you did that got you to this point right now. Like, what I was doing before this was so scary. My body just fully inflamed and all these chronic illnesses and issues. So I love that advice. So awesome, man. Thank you so much, Dwight, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you very much.
All right. Beep.